Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome to the show. This is Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat on the ski slopes. Well, maybe.
Well, no, maybe. Her husband, Dr. Sunil Umat, is a ENT surgeon. And so he is presenting a paper at the International Society of Ear, Nose, and Throat Doctors up in Whistler. So she's gone up to see her hubby talk. Although I would not be shocked if, his talk is today, they'll probably spend tomorrow on the ski slopes before coming home. That wouldn't
– Weather permitting.
Weather permitting, yes.
I think they have a lot of extra snow. I mean, I was just telling Dr. Mixon, I came from 15 – I had 15 inches of snow 2 weeks ago.
Where?
I know, right?
Where?
Just up north. I'm up north and up on a hill, so.
You're kidding.
15 inches. I will show you.
Well, you're right by the border.
I am by the Canadian border, so – I get lots if there's a chance, I'll get it, and I got dumped on. So, and I love snow, so I'm good with it.
I was so lucky. Friday, as the temperature was falling, I was headed to a medical meeting in Maui.
Oh,
and poor baby.
And this week later, Saturday, I was coming back as the temperature was climbing
you
from the freezing.
You missed it?
So I missed every hour. The whole thing.
And you were wearing your Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, well, I didn't. Yes.
Flip flops.
I don't look so great in Hawaiian shirts.
And your sunglasses.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're far from home and nobody knows you. So just,
Yeah.
Dress for comfort.
Oh, and you went up to Haleakala to see a sunset.
My son was with me. He was going to a retina meeting. I was going to an anterior segment meeting. So it was a lot of fun. But sometimes there are areas where the talks aren't of interest. So we went for a little hike some beautiful hikes.
Okay. And I got to ask, did you pop over to Lahaina to see what had been going on there with the fires?
No.
Okay.
We were pretty busy.
Okay. Okay. I just wondered. I knew that.
And they were all there. They're also very protective of that. They're really asking that people not come visit.
Ah, okay. As they rebuild and protect that banyan tree. Well, welcome back from
thank
Maui.
You so much.
He has a little sunny glow. So Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute in the studio, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We are live in the studio. Let me give you that phone number so that you are ready to make your call. We don't want you waiting until the very end. Here is that number to call in today to be part of our show. And if you have a question concerning your eyes or your eye health specifically, this is the day to call in because Dr. Gilbert is here. All right. Here is the number. It's 206-421-5757. All right, Dr. Mixon, let's start the show off with a medical update. Anything that you would like to talk about? You've been doing a lot of research lately.
I've been doing a lot of research.
Wow.
Lately, yes. I got so many things going on. I think we may have found a team that can help us measure when and how often we need to be treated for senescent cells. So I am looking forward to spending some time with the guys at Rutgers University that are publishing those papers and see if we can figure out a way to get one of our local laboratories to do that testing for us. I hope, on the horizon. Also been visiting with the guys doing the thymus regeneration, which, one of the the reasons that we old folks die of infections and die of cancers is that our immune system has lost the capacity to recognize and kill the bad actors that try to invade our bodies, including the cellular mutations that turn into cancers. And there is a distinct possibility. In fact, I think there is a strong probability that regenerating our thymus, even when we're in our 60s, 70s, and 80 years old, can drop that risk of dying from cancers or infections back to where it was in our 30s or 40s if we do this right. And so I think that's got a enormous potential for extending health span and the lifespan of we older Americans.
Just amazing to be able to regenerate glands.
It really is.
Because the gland failure is affecting us in many ways, thymus and elsewhere.
Sure. But you know, the thymus is the one that generates our immune cells.
Yeah.
And you know, that starts to shrink before puberty, and by the time we're adults, we're basically working with the immune cells that were produced in childhood and early adolescence. So by the time you reach our age, we are not making new immune cells. We're just using them up.
Stuck with the old team.
Yeah. And but the last study I saw, they were able to take people that were 65 and move their immune response back to their 40s.
That's amazing.
And which is just fabulous.
Yeah.
And the study that they just finished but have not yet published the data, but hopefully will be published here in the next few months. The oldest person in that study was 80.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing by the grapevine is even the 80-year-old had significant regeneration of immune function.
Mm-hmm.
So that just is very heartening.
Yeah.
You know, because that means we could cut the risk of dying from infections or cancers by half to two-thirds, three-fourths. I mean, my goodness. So that's fascinating. And then this studies done by Dasinovich and the other papers by Glazier, I thought, on breast cancer were just fascinating. In fact, I was chatting with you about this yesterday. You know, about the fact that the average woman, by the time we discover that she has a breast cancer, has had that cancer an average of about 5 years.
Mm.
A fast-growing cancer may get big enough to find in only 3 years. A slow-growing may take 10 years before we can even find it because it starts as one cell and there's no way to see one cell. It actually has to be about a centimeter in diameter before we can actually find the tumor. And even then, it's too small to feel with a breast exam. You only find it on a mammogram. So you figure on average about 5 years. The two big papers that did large numbers of women that were in the 50s and up. So these are 50, 60, 70, 80-year-olds. And they put them on testosterone implants and raised their testosterone level much higher than the average woman. In fact, it moved it up to the lower end of where men are. But these people apparently stopped getting new cancers. One study had over 1,200 women in it. They found 11 cancers. But 10 of the 11 cancers in a 10-year study were found in the first 4.5 years. And after that, in the last half of the study, only one woman out of 1,200 and some got cancer.
So those were undoubtedly pre-existing.
So those were pre-existing cancers. And so what we're finding is that if we were to start putting women on testosterone earlier, get them down to 35 or 40, we could probably cut the risk of getting breast cancer by 95% or so.
Wow.
Which would be fabulous. So first time we've got hints that we've actually got an intervention we can use in younger women to keep them from getting cancer in later life.
Wow.
And in the process, the quote side effects of this is they don't get osteoporosis.
That's a good one. That's a good side effect.
They don't get depression. They don't get fatigue. They don't get congestive heart failure. You know. Oh, and they keep their sex drive. Now,
all good side effects.
All good side effects.
Wow.
So why wouldn't we want to start women on this in their 30s?
Right.
Wow.
And
all
keep it on them till they're 90.
Right.
You know?
Amazing. Okay. I mean, all we could ask for more is
political barriers,
thicker hair, and yeah.
But mostly it is political barriers. That's the issue
keeping us from it.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, birth control pills are basically estrogens.
Right.
We will give kids estrogens in elementary school with no questions asked. I mean, there are places where the schools are passing out estrogen from the school nurse. But testosterone is considered a controlled substance like a narcotic.
Right.
God forbid we have too much masculinity in America.
Wow, we could use
surely
a dose
that's
of
toxic.
That.
You know? And, well, how dare we lower the risk of breast cancer? It just strikes me as crazy. The politicians, I'm wondering, before a politician runs for office, do we give them an IQ test? And then, you know, if they flunk, we let them run?
Yeah, right. That's almost what it seems like.
It's
sometimes
kind of a screening test, you know. If they've got, if they got normal intelligence, they're not allowed to hold public office.
Here's a test on common sense. What would make sense?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mixon. we've got lots of phone calls ready to go to talk
about.
Well,
let's talk to some people.
Should we do that? Okay, we're going to have to take a break in a couple minutes, but why don't we at least get Mike on the line from Seattle, get his question, then we'll take a break and come back and talk about it. Hi there, Mike. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi. I'm a cancer survivor, prostate cancer from 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I've been a prostate cancer survivor.
Okay.
Prostate cancer. And my libido is very low and I'm pretty lethargic. Mm-hmm. And my testosterone is like normal for my age. I'm 53.
Yep.
So I'm not getting any offers for testosterone from any of my doctors. And I don't know how to work my way around that.
Okay. Well, you come to Longevity Medical Clinic is what you do. Our doctors have read the literature, and we know that if your PSA has been below 1 for more than a year and is not rising, the statistics show that giving you testosterone will not increase your risk of prostate cancer at all. You have the same risk of reoccurrence of men who don't get testosterone, which is about 5%. So,
yeah,
tell you what.
Undetectable.
Yeah, if your PSA is undetectable, then we would, unless there's another reason not to, we would not let your history of prostate cancer prevent us from putting you on testosterone. And in fact, I'll tell you what else we do when we come back from this break. So you just relax, and we'll be back in about 1 or 2 minutes, and we'll chat some more, okay?
All right. Mike, you stay right there. Lori, DJ, you stay there as well. And we'll talk with you on Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert today from Northwest Vision Institute. Here's that number to get through. Phone lines are open at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Stay there. And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young.
Should we make that the theme song for our new podcast?
I think so.
I love it.
I love it.
Forever young.
Yes, because Rod's still going and he still has that great hair. I saw a picture of him and his son's in kilts. Because, he's Scottish. So there you go. Roderick Stewart. All right. We are back. It is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. And you could rock the kilt, Dr. Mixon.
I could
Mixon.
Rock the
I
kilt?
Think you could,
oh.
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, I think he could rock the kilt.
I don't know.
And Dr. Michael Gilbert
definitely
here as well.
No kilts here.
No kilts for Dr. Gilbert.
But you'd have a plaid shirt on.
Well,
yes,
I do.
He's wearing the plaid today.
But we're going to just draw the line right there.
There we go. Okay. Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. I'm Lynette. We are live in the studio. We invite your calls today, focusing on the eyes.
Yes.
See what I did there? Today with Dr. Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Here's that number to get through. through with your calls. It's 206-421-5757. That's exactly what Mike did from Seattle, and we're talking with him.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mike. Although I would put as an aside, when it comes to things Scottish, I draw the line at haggis.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy.
What a horrible thing. Anyway.
stomach lining.
So, yes. Fermented in the stomach of a dead sheep.
I can't.
As a doctor, you've seen it, so you know.
That's right. No, yeah. I've tasted that. It, actually, but only once in my life and never again.
And it was on a dare, I'm sure.
Well, okay. No, it was when I was in Scotland doing castle tours.
Okay, well, of course you'd have to try it. Yes, I would.
Yes, we spent 2 weeks and we did a different castle every day.
Wow.
And went up to Loch Ness. Didn't see Nessie.
You didn't see Nessie. Okay.
But, you know, anyway. So,
all right.
Let's see, Michael. Yes, we were chatting about things that we do a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Men that have had prostate cancer, if they're a year or more out, if they have very low PSA and it's not rising, there's no reason not to put them back on the testosterone. But the testosterone is a good start. But I would also almost reflexively put someone in your situation on tadalafil. Tadalafil, fascinating. It cuts the risk of prostate cancer in normal men by 50%. So you get better erections. You get some modest degree of improved libido. You get improved exercise tolerance. You improve blood flow to the brain. And you cut your risk of prostate cancer by 50%, which I would extrapolate, though I don't yet don't have data, to say, you know, if we prevent guys from getting prostate cancer by 50%, we probably would also reduce the risk of a recurrence in someone that has had one in the past, and certainly we're not going to hurt. So I would do a tadalafil at the same time that I put you on the testosterone. And as you said, your libido is quite low. For that, I would also increase your dehydroepiandrosterone and your pregnenolone, which are just a simple little pill, a pregnenolone at bedtime and the DHEA in the morning, because DHEA tends to make you alert and active, whereas the pregnenolone tends to make you drowsy. So better to take, you know, the drowsy one at night and the energetic one in the morning. You know, somebody in your situation, my strong recommendation is, since you're not likely to find somebody that'll do all the stuff we do, you ought to consider coming on out, do your health analysis appointment, and perhaps become a patient at Longevity so we can help you.
Yeah. You're young, Mike. You're 53.
Yeah. My God, I've got ties that old.
My other question was, I had a LASIK surgery about 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it really cleared up my vision.
Yep.
Excellent. It's starting to fade now, and I'm on 100% disability with the VA. Mm-hmm. They said it's starting to fade, but because I'm on 100%, they can work with it when it's time. However, I also been hearing about RLS on ads and stuff. And I called one place, and I think they said it was around $3,000 per eye. So is it like a middle ground? Is it one or the other, the cataract surgery, RLS?
So it's a great question. So classically, the surgery is really the same. From the standpoint as an eye surgeon, the surgical approach is exactly the same. The patient experience is exactly the same. The only difference is your 100% coverage isn't going to help you until the cataract gets bad enough that it's totally degrading your vision. And increasingly, patients are unwilling to wait until the point where they qualify for cataract surgery, so they're just getting it fixed there themselves. Plus the fact, in the VA, they aren't going to give you access to the, quote, RLE implants, which is to say the implants that have the highest technology. They will have very basic technologies and more than acceptable, absolutely standard of care. But the, quote, premium or RLE implants, the ones that give you distance, intermediate, and near, And that's undoubtedly what's starting to fade. Starting your 50s, the LASIK is still active. It fixed your cornea. But now the natural lens is declining. And as that natural lens declines, you get to decide whether you're going to put up with it or get it fixed. Once fixed, whether you fix it at 50, sometimes I do it. I've done it as young as mid-20s. But almost certainly it's the group in their 50s and early 60s who are lining up to be considered for this. And truth told, I had it done in my 50s. And so I think I had RLE before it was really a term that was coined. But I was unwilling to wait. I knew that at that age, the recovery would be faster, the treatment would be easier, which is to say, I wanted to be the easiest surgery for that surgeon all day long. And the implants completely replaced my my prescription for distance. And prior to that, like Dr. Mixon, I was moderately nearsighted, so I was dependent on contacts. They are gone forever. And while I wear glasses, I don't wear them all the time. In fact, people who see me in the clinic have never seen me in glasses. I don't wear glasses.
I think he just wears them as a fashion statement.
Yeah, well, they are. You notice blue with the right?
Didn't notice that.
These are my favorite blue, and I look better with glasses. But I don't need them. And before that surgery, I had to wear them to see. Now I don't need them to see.
Now he just needs them to look hot.
Well.
Yeah. The hot factor.
Yeah. Well, hotter, but we're a long ways from bringing the temperature up in the room.
Oh, boy.
But, so RLE is very cool. I regret it is not covered by any insurance, and it's purely a matter of do you want to get your vision fixed now or wait until it gets bad enough that insurance will help. But even if you wait, the vast majority of my patients do not choose the government issue implant. They choose one of the RLE higher technology lenses that give them a better range of vision and can correct their prescriptions. So I think whether you choose to do it sooner or later, personal choice. I regret insurance is unlikely to help you with it.
Although there may be a middle ground. For instance, if he gets bad enough that they will cover the surgery.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then this,
and you can have the lens.
Then the surgery is covered, but then you have to pay for the lens.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they do that coordination of benefits at the VA. If you want them to do it, it's just going to be what's covered.
Yeah. On the other hand, when the VA is busy, they now have a policy, or at least they had under Mr. Trump. I don't know if Mr. Biden has rolled it back or not. But under Mr. Trump, they had a policy that whenever the VA was busy,
right,
so that you had a long delay, you could go to a private physician,
right,
and the VA would pay for
the medical portion.
Yeah, the medical and the surgical portion, and then you'd only have to pay for the fancier lenses.
Right.
Wow, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I know that was I know Mr. Trump put that policy in because he was a big booster of the military and the vets. But I don't know whether that has continued under the current administration. They may have. You know, I don't want to say that they've taken it away, but I check on it.
Also is going to be a very regional thing because there are some VAs, including ours, that is well-staffed. The University of Washington, they use residents to help with that. But there are places where they don't have access to resident programs.
And they have much longer
waits.
They're
more likely to have that policy have an impact if it still exists.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Mike. I'll see you other callers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Very cool technology, Mike.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening.
And can I just make one comment?
Yes.
Dialing back, although frankly, I'm more excited about RLE. But as we were talking about Mike's cancer, prostate cancer, and the breast cancer being undetected for years, this is something where the Galleri test, which I learned about from Longevity, the Galleri test would be something that would speak to that because you'd have the opportunity for early detection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the earlier we find cancers, the better chance of fixing them. You can't fix them if you don't know they're there.
In fact, I'm making a note here myself. I have not had that done, but I am going to. It's going to be part of my new year.
Very good. And we are doing that at Longevity. Here is the date for our next gallery test. Put it on your calendar as well as Dr. Gilbert. Here is the next date, 2 weeks from today, which is Saturday, February the 10th. Now, that's February the 10th. You do need to schedule that appointment, but it's happening at all three of our clinics, not just one this time. We're doing it in Linwood, in Tacoma, and our newest clinic, so beautiful, all nice and refurbished and refreshed in Kirkland. So you can pick which one is closest to you and get that scheduled by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com. Again, that's for the gallery test. We'll give you a little bit more information on that in just a moment when we come back. That's February the 10th. Stay right there. More calls on the way. Leading Edge Medicine continues. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. Oh, yes, I'm Lynette. Hi there. Glad to be in on a rainy Saturday morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here live in the studio.
It is rainy. You know, boy.
I
went out this morning. I cut my morning to less than 2 miles this morning.
Oh, boy. Because I was thinking of you in the rain today.
I was getting soaking wet and cold.
I am a fair weather runner now.
Oh, boy.
I look out the window, say, nah, nope.
Not today.
I was really
tempted.
We're going
to spin in the gym today.
Spin in the gym.
Not going out plopping in the water.
Not puddles in the water, no.
Well, you know, and the other thing is when I do it out on the trail in the dark, I have my headlamp on.
Oh, yeah.
And then instead of wearing running shoes, I'm wearing my great big hiking boots because they're waterproof.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I was thinking the yellow galoshes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you try to run in the dark in your big waterproof
you
boots.
You are a better man than I.
With his running shorts.
It's no wonder he looks.
Thump.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
26-year-old.
Boy, he sounds like a train and looks like a train coming at you.
Yeah, and if it sounds like a train and looks like a train.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Get off the track. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and I have two wonderful doctors in the studio live today answering your calls and your questions at 206-421-5757. Before we get that next call, details again about the gallery test.
Yes.
And Dr. Mixon, why is this test so very important? We didn't have it 5, 10 years ago.
No, we didn't.
Now we do.
Before we've kind of piecemealed it. Uh-huh. You did one test for your breast cancer, a different test for your prostate cancer. And there were a lot of cancers like pancreatic cancers we had no test for. We, for the first time now, can actually measure proteins and peptides that are released into your bloodstream by the cancer before we have any symptoms from the cancer. And so we can screen for 50 different cancers with one blood test. I mean, it's fabulous. Now, it occasionally gives us a result that is wrong. About, I think it was 0.5% of the tests will miss a cancer, or will say you have one when you don't. So nothing done to or by humans is perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you get a gallery test and it comes up positive for something, then what we do is we say we send you to a specialist to investigate that particular result and find out if it was a false report or not. But if it says positive, it will be accurate 99.5% of the time.
And this is not to freak you out. It's to let you know early on.
We can't fix it if we don't know it's there.
Right.
That's the point. And some cancers, like pancreatic cancers, historically have been fatal the vast majority of the time because we don't find them until they've already spread to multiple sites. And so if we can catch it, whatever cancer it is, if we can catch it while it's small, we've got a good shot of fixing it. If we wait until it has spread to other organs, well, now it's obvious you got it, but it's much harder to cure if it's curable at all. You know, I lost a son to a glioblastoma, and he was a intensive care unit nurse, and he had no idea that he was sick.
Wow.
Until he got lost going home. Now, he goes back and forth to the hospital every day, you know, going and then coming, and he couldn't find his way home. It took him 3 hours to get home that day.
Wow.
Because he got lost.
And that was his symptom.
And that was his only
confusion
symptom.
And
yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. And by that point, of course, the tumor had spread so far. Yeah. That
fast-growing tumor.
Yeah, a fast-growing tumor. And, you know, would we have been able to slow things down and give him another couple of years had we found it early?
Right.
We don't know for sure. But these tumors, classically, we don't find them until they have spread. We don't find them until they're so big that they're causing related symptoms. And so a test like the Galleri test is, you know, critically important for early diagnosis. I'm sorry that it's a grand, you know, this $1,200.
Yeah.
But even that's only $25 per cancer.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it. Yes,
it's pretty darn cheap. I wish we could do it for $50.
Right.
You know,
someday,
everybody could have it.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least we have it now. We didn't before.
No, we didn't have it until a couple of years ago.
People who have cancers in the family.
Well, basically, the formal recommendation is anybody over 50 should at least get their first Galleri test. Because at 50 is when your immune system is declining to the point that your statistical risk of cancer starts to rise logarithmically. Okay, because are those T cells that help us find and kill cancers are diminishing. Because we made those T cells when we were early adolescents or earlier. We've been carrying them around for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years.
And they're just tired.
They're tired, and there's not so many of them anymore because we're not making new ones, which, again, is not only should we do in the Galleri test, we really need to polish these techniques for kicking our thymus back into high gear and making new immune cells in us old folks so that we can find and our immune system can kill these cancers as early as possible.
Right.
All right. The Galleri test. This is what we're talking about. And we're doing it again at not one, but all three of our longevity medical clinics. You can come and schedule. Well, you need to schedule, then come to our Galleri test February the 10th. That's a Saturday to Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. And this is the number to call to get that scheduled. You don't want to miss out on this. It's not something we do regularly for patients, not patients of longevity. For our longevity patients, yes, we do. But if you're not a longevity patient, you can schedule. And that's what this day is all about for you specifically. February the 10th, 2 weeks from today, here is the number to call to get scheduled. It's 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. Okay, we're headed to the phones, headed to Bothell. We have Lori on the line. Hi, Lori. Thank you for calling.
Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, Lynette and doctors.
Hi there.
I have a question for Dr. Gilbert. I was a patient of yours in the, I think it was 2021.
Okay.
And you did my right cataract surgery, and my left one has a cataract in it, and I have not scheduled to have that done yet.
Okay.
I went to Kirkland to see Virginia Henderson, and she said I needed eyeglasses. Now, when I left your office, you guys have given me a prescription for eyeglasses, and I also have dry eye in that eye. And my sphere in my right eye at the time when I left your office was 0.50 negative.
Almost nothing.
And when I walked out of, when I went to the new doctor in Kirkland, it was negative 1. 0.00. Now, why the change so fast, or does it change
so
like
fast?
That
well,
quickly?
3 years. You know, so let me answer it in this way. First of all, if you're talking about the eye that has the implant, most commonly the prescription doesn't change. Doesn't change.
Okay.
Most commonly, I had mine done 10 years ago. My prescription hasn't changed in 10 years. But one of the interesting phenomena, and I'd have to look back and see which implant technology you have. One of the exciting things about the current implant technology is because it can deliver a range of vision. And so I guess we'd have to look at the implant. What that means is you can have a correction, and it starts to behave like the young eye. So if you have a someone in their teens and 20s, you can get them to excellent vision with multiple prescriptions. The goal is to find the least amount of prescription that gives them that good vision. But it's easy to give them more power than they need because sometimes it changes the optics and they feel a little like it's sharper. But actually, it induces some eye strain if you do that. It doesn't do that with the implant. So there's a difference between needing it and seeing well with that minus one. I guess I'd have to look at you to see if maybe you have multiple prescriptions that give you similar vision. That may well be true. So it may not be. So what? Now let's just say that it's not that way. Because that's what I think it is. I think it's probably just multiple prescriptions will give you similar good vision, and it doesn't matter whether you have that minimal 0.5 or you have minus one. That said, is it possible? I would say that in maybe 1-2%, probably a little less than that now. I used to see it maybe 3%. But in a small percentage of patients over time, just through more normal healing, the implant can move maybe a fraction of a millimeter. But the tolerances are so just with normal human healing after time, just the fibrosis around the implant. And that can, in that very small percentage of patients, shift the prescription just a little bit. And oftentimes it's in the nearsighted direction. That's just the way, if it's going to change by healing, that the direction it'll change. So it's certainly possible that by healing you have that. But it's just as likely that your the implant technology, which you know would help me to know which implant, has the ability to come to focus in multiple distances, which allows multiple prescriptions to be, quote, right.
Okay. All right. Then I'll have to make an appointment with you in the future and have you do the other eye.
Good.
Yes.
Very
there
good.
You go.
And it'll be fun. Bring this up for the right eye, and we'll check exactly that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very
all
good.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Lori. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your phone calls for the doctors, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Gilbert, specializing in eyes today. Here's the number, 206-421-5757. Phone lines are open for you, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine on a Saturday morning. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute, taking your phone calls, answering your questions. You learn so much on that show. On this show, this is what I hear most from my friends. They're like, wow, I learned so much. Yes, you do. And today we're learning about eye health and a lot of questions that you may or may have yet to deal with. We're going to talk with DJ from Tukwila. He has a question about the eyes as well for Dr. Gilbert. Oh, we'll take Elise. DJ, call back. We'll get you on. Let's go to Seattle, though. Elise is ready to talk as well. Hi there, Elise.
Hi, good morning. First of all, thank you all so much. You're such a blessing. And just, you have no idea how deeply appreciated you all are. Thank you so much.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
By the way, we're having fun. I hate
Michelle.
To. Right.
We're not working.
Okay, we enjoy our job.
And that's the other thing, you know, besides all your phenomenal information that is impossible to get anywhere, you're so fun and inspirational. I mean, it's such a nourishing show to set on Saturdays to listen to.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yep. Now, I don't know if I brought this up, but we are in process of revamping this show. And I've got consultants coming in this coming week to tell us exactly which equipment to buy and stuff. But we're setting up to make this a audio video so that this will be streamed live on your computer so you can actually see us when we get up to dance to the music.
Yes.
I fear we may lose some of the audience.
I hope you can't see us dancing at home. Along
That's that. Right. Or when Dr. Umet is dancing, or Dr. Mixon races out to go refill his cup of tea. And
But we're setting this up actually so that it's live streamed on Saturday morning, but it will also then be
available
anytime 24/7. You can just kind of click and see as much of the show as you want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, so. What I appreciate about this is, and I'm a radio girl. I listen to, so please, you know, keep your radio programs. But I have friends that I like to tell. I say, okay, so I always, if I hear something that might apply to them, I say, okay, this is the time that I heard it. Go on his website and try to find this day. So, you know what I'm saying? So they can hear the exact same information
yes.
that I heard.
Right.
And so this will be valuable for people that I know that are more computer people than radio people like I am. Mm-hmm. So thank
yep.
you. You're always ahead of the pack.
We try.
Try to be leading edge.
Yeah. When you were talking about the, and would you spell it for me, that dasatinib? Could you spell that?
Dasatinib. DASATINAB, I think, or NIB. NIB.
Dasatinib. Thank you. And the question I had that perked up my ears was when you were mentioning that it was, you know, not only that you use it for to get rid of senescent cells, but also it was a anti-neoplastic designed originally for killing cancer cells. And I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if it could be used as a safer alternative to hydroxyurea. I have a friend that is on hydroxyurea. He has essential thrombocytosis, you know, elevated platelets. And, I try always to be thinking if there's something that is, you know, a natural alternative or something other than that. Do you think, and you're the only one, I mean, I hate to say this, but even the specialist, like the cancer specialist, he wouldn't know like you would. Do you think it could work for something like that?
I have no data to support that. It's it's actually prescribed and approved by the FDA for a particular form of a chronic leukemia. And so, I, not being an oncologist, I don't treat leukemias.
Sure.
But when I saw how effective it was in a Mayo Clinic study on senescent cells, that's what, got me interested. And then when I was looking for side effects, the side effect profiles were designed by people being treated with leukemia, and they take it every day for the duration of their lifespan. So many of them are on it 5, 6, 7 years. And so side effect profiles were very clear at that point. And so when we're only using it for 3 days at a time, the chances of having a bad result are very, very low. So, but.
Right.
But for that particular problem, I don't really know.
Well, what I appreciate is that, because it's my belief system that, with some of these things, like ET, that, there's no way that science could have, studied every single thing out there that could be helpful for
it. No, of course not. Of course not.
So when I hear something like this, and it made me feel so much better to know that both you and even Dr. Gilbert said how he's used it, and I thought, well, gosh, I don't know. I need to ask somebody if maybe it could. And I can have mask as cancer doctor, but I hate to say this, but they are really, they're just really in the peripherals of their own. I've even wondered things like about omega-3s or natokinase or things. I know those don't kill platelets, but they thin the blood, but there's nobody I can ask, and it's pretty frustrating.
No, I understand. This is one of those things that, because I have not treated it personally, nor have I researched it, I can't give you a good answer.
I understand. I totally understand.
Poor old Dr. Mixon knows some things, but I am often appalled at how little I know. I do my best, but
believe me, you're so far ahead of everybody, even the specialists. And I was going to ask also about the quercetin, even that, because even I've taken that because it's healthy for all the kinds of things.
Yeah.
Do you think if a person used quercetin alone, is that Has that been shown to help get rid of those old senescent cells?
No, it actually doesn't.
Okay.
Quercetin by itself does not lower senescent load. But what it does is to decrease the formation of new senescent cells. But even more effective than the quercetin for that is resveratrol.
Really?
So still beans and polyphenols are both very useful for decreasing the formation of new senescent cells, but they're not terribly effective by themselves for killing existing senescent cells.
Well, I guess I'm confused then, because I understand why you want to get rid of the old senescent cells, but are new ones? I would think new ones would be good, but they're not. New ones are not good.
No. Well, see, let me kind of give you a little. Okay, she says we got to take a quick break, so here in just a moment. So when we come back, I'm going to give you a little tutorial on the good, the bad, and the ugly for senescent cells. Because, oddly enough, senescent cells are there for a reason in young people, and they help prevent the growth of cancers. But it's when you get a lot of them as you get older that you get in trouble, okay? So we'll be back.
Yeah.
Just a minute.
Yep. Elise, you stay right there. Robert and Dave will talk with you in a moment as well. And for those of you who go, I have a question for the doctors, please call now and get in the queue at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay right there.